Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, dear one. So glad you're here. This is...
What is wrong with you?
I'm being gentle in here, okay?
Man.
This
more creepy than
gentle or creepy. There's a fine line. This is Wretched Radio. Living in an age of outrage, how do you and I obey the command to be gentle, to be meek, to be a peacemaker? Answer, it ain't obvious and it ain't easy. We tend to think meek and gentle is soft and squishy and
creepy.
Using all kinds of language. That's right. I just said
cow speak.
It's baby speak.
Hey, they're people too, don't you know? How do you and I go about the business of acting like Jesus? Did he ever demonstrate outrage? Yes. We need to remember that he did. We can't ignore those sections of scripture where he is indeed terse. And that sometimes causes us to go, well, then how am I supposed to be meek and gentle and tender? I got to be both. I think it's because we fail to understand what it means to be meek and gentle and tender. It doesn't mean being soft and squishy and breathy. Let's face it. That's almost more annoying than being sharp these days. We are living in an age of outrage, courtesy of the president of Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando, that's Florida, cultivating gentleness in an age of outrage. Recent New York Times documentary, see if this doesn't just capture what is so common, social media, cable TV, talk radio. New York Times documentary tells the story of the online outrage machine. With a little misinformation, with a viral hashtag, you can rally a social media mob and destroy a person's life. And you can do more than that, because everybody seems to be simmering at about 211. Just say the magic words and you get people staying tuned in, following you, because we feel the need to be outraged. Have you been reading about the coronavirus? I do not know what a Mexican beer has to do with an illness in China. I don't follow all
and
these details.
Wouldn't Lyme fix it, really?
But the reports, some of them were sort of like the avian flu. Remember? It was, look out, this is global warming. Whoa! And I was just reading, somebody's got this clock. Scientists, whoever they are, they have a clock counting down to doomsday. We now are under 2 minutes to doomsday. We're 90 seconds away from midnight, they claim. So it's because of the attitudes, the geopolitics, and because of global warming. Any second, it's Armageddon. Or we're just going to do a total meltdown. There's money in that. There's followers in that. There's power in that. And even though those people might not articulate it in those terms, it does indeed generate all of those benefits. You and I need to be aware of that so that we don't play into that and act perpetually furious about everything and everyone over the most ridiculous things. Outside of the church, inside of the church, how do we cultivate an error, an actual error that comes from a changed heart of gentleness? Well, it probably starts with understanding what it means to be gentle and what it doesn't mean. Thankfully, Jesus helps us with definitions in a section of scripture that has become too many bookmarks and nice little bumper stickers because people don't understand the import of the Beatitudes. It sounds so nice. Blessed are the peacemakers. Just going to be a peacemaker. That is not at all what Jesus is after in the Beatitudes. While he gives a laundry list of things that we are supposed to be, the impact of the Beatitudes is, I can't be that. I need someone who is. If I don't have somebody who matches all of these things, I ain't entering the kingdom of God, especially if good grammar is a qualification. Now, I will tell you this. If being annoying is a qualification for inheriting the kingdom of God, I'm going. In fact, I'll probably be first in line, frankly. But that's not the qualifications that Jesus sets forth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, bankrupt, cashish. I got nothing to offer, nothing to bring. Not even my pathetic faith do I bring. Jesus is my Savior. He's the one I'm counting on totally. Blessed are those who mourn. About what? The cancellation of your favorite sitcom? No, it's mourning over sin. Blessed are those who are meek. Ah, there it is. We're supposed to be meek. Stop talking so intensely, radio boy. We're supposed to be meek. That's not what meekness is. It's the opposite of being out of control. It isn't weakness, but it is controlling the strength that God has given me. I can flail away and be outraged and furious. Meekness is just bringing it under control. Does that mean that I never get to talk like Jesus in some sections of Scripture where he is indeed downright terse? He is sharp in his words. I don't think we grasp for a second how powerful some of his statements were in the Bible. The ones that we overlook, we tend to go to Matthew 23, 24. Oh, he's just ripping into them there, Pharisees. Oh, look at him in John chapter 8, John chapter 11. He is just tearing into them, calling them the sons of the devil. Now, there's many times that Jesus spoke forcefully, strongly. It doesn't mean obnoxiously, but it doesn't mean this either. For instance, I don't think we can grasp how much of a smack this statement is. Imagine you pick your own. Some national tragedy has happened where lives were lost. And the reporter comes to Jesus and says, so what did you think about this disaster? And Jesus says, do you think those people were worse than you? I tell you, unless you repent, you likewise will perish. Whoa. Whoa. Now, the difference is he wasn't like, yeah, crazy outraged and intense and angry sounding. It was forceful. It was powerful. It was strongly worded. But he had any sort of outrage under control. That's what meekness is. It doesn't mean being a perpetual namby-pamby. It means not aiming it in the wrong direction, using it inappropriately, mowing down people wherever we go. You get that under control. That's meekness. That's what a kingdom citizen looks like. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's a kingdom citizen. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. I can't be any of these things. I need Jesus. That's the power of the Beatitudes. And that's the point of the Beatitudes. And having said that, it still gives us a benchmark and attitudes and attributes that we should be striving for. Here it comes. Blessed are the peacemakers. What does that mean? Just resolve the two kids are fighting and I get in the middle of it and calm everybody down, send them to their rooms, give them a timeout? No. A peacemaker is one who brings reconciliation, not just between man and man, but far more importantly, between man and God. That's a peacemaker. That means you're bringing the gospel to somebody. And what is the consequence of that? It's funny. Jesus now gives a repeated beatitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted. You act like a Christian, talk like a Christian. In other words, you bring the gospel, the stumbling block, you're going to get persecuted. Verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice, for you've got a reward in heaven. You bring the gospel, not just helping two kindergartners, not pull each other's hair. You bring peace through the gospel. You're going to get persecuted. Question, have you been persecuted lately for the sake of the gospel? These words are tough, delivered lovingly but forcefully. Jesus is saying, in essence, if you are never being persecuted because you bring the gospel to anyone, you should question whether you're a member of the kingdom. That's stern. Tom Hammond, he's the fellow who wrote What Time Is Purple, still available at wretched.org/purple, so you can give away the gospel and be engaged in the Great Commission. How to avoid persecution. 1. Never talk expressly about your conversion, but if you have to, make sure it is not you who brings it up. 2. Never tell a non-Christian they're lost without Christ. Only the positive, nice things about Jesus. Never say Christ is the only way to heaven. Just hope they'll find out sooner or later. You'll avoid persecution if you never say that any religion besides Christianity is a lie. In fact, find something good to say about them. Teach it in the schools like they're doing in New Jersey, making the kids study Islam for 3 weeks and writing the Shahada. Never bring up the subject of hell. Tell anyone. That's what awaits them if you're not in Christ. Never tell them. Unless you repent, you likewise will perish. And that'll be fine. You'll avoid persecution. But Jesus is saying you might also be avoiding the kingdom. He's not playing around when it comes to us being peacemakers by bringing the gospel of peace. But that begged the question, how do you and I do that in a gentle way when we are living in a spirit of outrage? We will tackle we'll tackle that next, dear one.
Stop it.
Wretched Radio. I didn't wink. Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl and she repented. She used to be a sad looking kid. Now seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually, and the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Wretched's Millennial Initiative is on a roll. We want to reach this generation with a new TV show aimed directly at millennials, Road Trip to Truth. John Fabares will be hosting Wretched's next TV series, 26 episodes long, that goes right into the lion's den, secular university campuses. This program will reach millions of millennials with the gospel. Millions. Now, it's only because of your support of Wretched that allows us to do what we do every single day. So if you are already supporting Wretched, we are extremely grateful. Thank you very much. If you are not supporting Wretched, would you consider it? Think about giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis. Not only would you help us keep the lights on, but you'd help us reach this lost generation. Visit wretched.org/donate to become a Wretched monthly gospel partner. And join us on our road trip to truth. wretched.org/donate.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they had to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's goodness. God does not measure up to an external standard of goodness. He is the standard. Because everything God does is, by definition, good, we can trust that God will do what is right in every situation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wow! It's a good thing I know Koine Greek. This is Wretched Radio. Blessed are those who love dogs, because they're the ones who are going to be first in line in heaven. I just found that right there. And Joey, I'm a little concerned about you now.
Really?
You don't talk like your dog is actually a child. I think something is. I'm not sure you're saved. I'll just be honest with you.
Wow. Likewise. Back at you.
You don't talk like you're the dad and Carl is the mom.
No, I do not have a fur baby. I have a pet. Happens to weigh more than my actual children.
Okay.
Combined.
I actually saw something about a cat that I liked. Mrs. Friel was reading me a posting. I think it was I want to say New Jersey. A vet shelter was trying to get this cat adopted, and they wrote, it was really well written, that this cat is aloof. It stares into your eyes as if it wants to drain your soul from your body. Basically, this cat is a jerk. And about 125 people have lined up to adopt the thing. And I thought, isn't that true of all cats? I could be wrong about that.
Yeah. But
honesty, wow, that cat's going to be going to somebody's house where it'll be aloof and make everybody miserable. But that would, I think that's about the first time that I've enjoyed something about a cat, was reading the accurate descriptor of the feline species. Let's get to you doing what I just didn't do. See, I should have practiced some self-control about cats, and I failed to do that. We should be practicing self-control. We should be the gentle people, but that doesn't mean the sissy people. The Beatitudes look like they're saying be sensitive and kindly squishy. Well, we're supposed to be kind, but that doesn't mean that you can't talk like a man or a woman who believes what you believe. And that is how we figure out how to pattern our lives after Jesus. There were times when he talked really strong. There were so many times when he talked so tenderly. And that, we tend to go, well, the strong stuff, ooh, what do we do with that? That's like the harsh stuff. And then the tender sounding stuff is the tender. That doesn't mean that they aren't both acceptable. And it doesn't mean that he wasn't practicing meekness at that time, because Jesus practiced it perfectly. From Scott Swain from Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando, because we're a culture that sees red at just about anything due to this industry of outrage, we've got to pattern our lives after Jesus. Matthew 5:5. Echoing Psalm 37:11, by the way, declaring that the meek shall inherit the earth. Matthew 11:29. He is one who is gentle and lowly in heart. And yet he talked firmly. He said hard things. Matthew 21:5. Jesus enters Jerusalem in fulfillment of a prophecy, humble and mounted on a donkey. Not on a Maccabean stallion, humble and mounted on a donkey. Ephesians 4:2, Colossians 3:12. We are supposed to clothe ourselves with compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. James 3:13. We are to demonstrate by our excellent way of life that our works are performed in the meekness of wisdom. Gentleness is not a personality type. You can be big and loud. You can be quiet, whispery, but you can both be gentle, because gentleness isn't, gentleness is not a stoic lack of emotion. Gentleness is the moderation of emotion, not its absence. We know how to stop when we need to stop. We don't always exercise the strength that God has given to us. We don't always have to spew out what is perhaps exactly right in your assessment of a situation. There are times when discretion is a sign of maturity. We don't have to say everything all the time. Now, there's some people who never say anything any of the time. That's wrong, too. But there's also knowing when to zip, zip, zip it. It's not being timid. It's not having a lack of Gentleness isn't niceness as we tend to think about it. It's not what it is. The gentle person is not someone who is never disagreeable, someone who never upsets the status quo. Jesus upset the status quo, but he was gentle. In fact, there's a kind of niceness that's the counterfeit form of true and godly gentleness. Titus 2 teaches that grace that saves us is also the grace that trains us in virtue. So how do you get this gentleness? Congratulations. You don't just let go and let God. You got to get to work on this. Training yourself. I need to do this. Some of us more than others. I need to do this a lot. My problem, maybe it's yours too. It's just the craziest thing. Everything I think is brilliant. Do you have that problem? It's amazing how
I problem?
Know everything. See, there's now, Tony, that's your first step to healing right there, is recognizing that it's actually a problem.
Well, no, I was actually asking if it was a
problem. This is my estimation. This is what causes most division, splits, church fights, and acrimony in the body of Christ. The first thought that pops into my brain, that's the one. That's it. Flooring, I'll tell you what it should be because I just thought of it. And what should we do for the event? I'll tell you what it is because I just thought of it. That first thing that fires into my brain, it's right. Here's what somebody who is under control does. Stops, doesn't say it, pulls it back, assesses it, listens, and then modifies if necessary, and in many times it is indeed required, and then you talk about it. That's having yourself under control, and you got to train yourself for that. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live temperate, righteous, and godly lives in the present age of outrage. Added that prepositional phrase at the end. Telling you, the outrage machine wants you, evangelical, and they've got too many of us. In the political realm, they are bent on making you mad. It's like a drug for us. You think that there's something about the cell phone. I got to look at you get a hit of dopamine. There's something about turning on a cable show, hearing somebody voice strongly the problem with the people that are liberals. I like it. I just gobble that stuff up. And I think there's something inside of us that likes it. And we as Christians have to go, time out. I'm going to hear this news if necessary. You make that call for you. I make it for me. And I am going to respond to it with some thought. I'm going to, just because they're saying this is the conclusion, I don't have to accept that. I don't have to accept that because pick your favorite liberal that you dislike. They said something. See, there you go. That's not gentleness. Gentleness is going, okay, I don't know the context of this. It sounds like it's a part of who they are. Nevertheless, I'm still going to a point, give the benefit of the doubt on this, and I'm not going to get furious about another dopey thing that a progressive politician has said again. They want you to get mad. Jesus wants you to be gentle, not responding that way. Gentle is the virtue that tempers our anger, wrath, and desire for vengeance when we suffer or witness injustice. Because of its form of temperance, gentleness is distinct from self-control. With self-control, our anger is held in check by bit and bridle. You're like a dog that's just reined in. Like
Maddox, a horse?
The dog from Alpharetta, Georgia. Do you see that dog on the TV who's winning the competition? Yep, I've met that dog. He's scary. That's self-control. Yeah. Gentleness. Our anger is tamed and trained by wisdom. like a Doberman Pinscher that doesn't need that chain around his neck that if he pulls too hard, you're going to get that poke in his throat. Uh-uh. He's trained to walk peacefully, to not bark and bite and nip at people. Gentleness is more than self-restraint. It is self-mastery. It is the moderation, not the absence of anger. It's the kind of the middle road, if you will, between prideful anger, which is anger in excess, and lazy apathy, which is just a complete absence of any sort of passion. The person who is just cool with everything, Daddy-O, never disagreeable, always compliments, never criticizes, that person isn't necessarily gentle. Maybe, but maybe not. Some things we should say, hey, no, not acceptable. Failure to be angry in some cases is a failure with respect to virtue. How do you cultivate this? How do you get this? When people say to you, hey, brother, I've been seeing you act like this, or they don't do it well. Hey, what are you doing? We don't fly off the handle. How do you get it? And the answer is the same for every single virtue in the Beatitudes or in the Bible. We study the one who is. Who is the one that personifies all of these things in his person? The Lord Jesus Christ. Study, study, study him in the Word, and you will increasingly become like him. It is as simple and as hard as that. This is Wretched Radio.
Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough law and gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Perkenis. Four Christian aid workers from France and Iraq have gone missing in Baghdad, according to SOS Christians of the Middle East. The nonprofit organization had sent its four employees to complete administrative formalities, according to the BBC. So far, no ransom has been demanded, nor has any group taken responsibility. The disappearance occurred near the French embassy in Baghdad. For security reasons, the names of the workers have not been revealed. The aid workers were to, quote, renew their visas and register the association with Iraqi authorities, according to France 24. They were also intending to inspect the charity's activities in the city. The director of the nonprofit said the men are experienced staff members who have been working with us for years and had perfect knowledge of conflict zones. The French Foreign Ministry has been notified of the situation and are actively working to gather more information. The charity has been in Iraq working since 2014 to help persecuted Christians remain and rebuild. The organization also works in Syria, Lebanon, and Egypt, visiting Christian families and teaching the French language. Christians in Iraq have been suffering tremendous persecution since ISIS overran the country. Before the U.S. invasion of Iraq, an estimated 1.5 million Christians lived in the Middle Eastern country. That number now is dwindling to under 200,000. Praying for our brothers and sisters. A Dallas judge ruling in the case of a mother trying to turn her 7-year-old son into a daughter upheld a previous court ruling that made the boy's parents joint conservatorship over him. Judge Mary Brown not only denied Ann George Gulis' request that the case revert to an October jury ruling that would have likely resulted in the mother being granted sole managing conservatorship, but the judge made it an official order and both parents now have joint conservatorship over their son, James Younger. Her attorney has vowed to challenge that ruling. In a case that's received national attention, the mother and father battling over custody of their two twin boys, the father, Jeffrey Younger, arguing that he needed some say in the medical decisions being made for his boys, whose mother, Dr. Ann George Gulis, had enrolled one of the 7-year-old boys in school under the name Luna, and medical records indicate the mother was pursuing a medical gender transition for the boy. The boy's mother told the court that she would bring a motion for a new trial, arguing that the Judge Cook ruling, the first one, and now the new order by Judge Brown, was not authorized based on the jury's verdict, nor is it enforceable. Praying for that family, please. Someone sent me this story. I just thought I'd share it with you for what it's worth. Iran is not, shall we say, very friendly towards the United States or Israel.
and they show that public displeasure by burning the flags from both countries. Reuters has a story where Iran now has a factory dedicated to creating large quantities of Israeli and American flags,
just so they can be burned later.
And they're all printed by hand before they're put to the match.
What a world.
More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Important dates in Christian history. 70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple. The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward his great commission. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The most relevant Christian talk show on this station at this time. This is Wretched Radio. You watch this. This is how contemporary we are. Perdita the cat, not going to inherit the kingdom of God. See what I did there? I took a beatitude and I applied it to Perdita the cat, making it hip and relevant. Because that's what we are here at Wretched Radio. I don't know if you've seen this. So many people have. Who's doing the writing? I thought it was New Jersey. It's actually North Carolina. A cat put up for adoption received 175 offers for adoption. I don't know who is behind this, but they are a funny person at this shelter. Meet Perdita. Not for the faint of heart. Likes staring into your soul until you feel as if you may never be cheerful again. The song Cat Scratch Fever, the movie Pet Sematary, because church is her hero, I don't know what that means, jump scares, her specialty. She likes lurking in dark corners, being queen of her domicile, fooling shelter staff into thinking she's sick. The vet agrees, saying, she's just a jerk. Oh, man. Dislikes the color pink, kittens. Yuck, they're so chipper. She dislikes dogs, children, the Dixie Chicks, Disney movies, Christmas, and last but not least, hugs. She's single and ready to be socially awkward with a socially awkward human who understands personal space. Free adoption. And off she goes to a couple in Tennessee. She's not going to inherit the kingdom of God, that Perdita. We got to get that stuff under control. And it is a fight. It is a battle. And honestly, it is probably the source of more divorces than we can imagine. I've got to have it my way. I have to do things the way that I want to do them. And you're just getting in my way. Now, I'm happy with you when you are in conformity to my will, my way of thinking, my preferences. We're all good. But you don't. And this is not going to work for me. Pride is simmering underneath virtually everything we everything we think, say, and do, unless we bridle it and get it under control. And it is not easy these days when we are encouraged to be angry all the time. The media, they want us to be Perdita the cat. We keep watching. It's our catnip. Is this analogy getting out of control at this point?
I don't know. I missed everything because my cat was pestering me to let him out.
It's true. I can actually hear the cat meowing in the background. A house with a cat and a dog. I don't understand it.
I don't either, and I've been living in it.
Do you call yourself mom and dad with the cat because you don't with the dog?
No. No, the only reason I like the cat is because it takes care of the vermin.
That is it. You know what? Some dogs do, though, too, you know. They're terriers. They're ratters, and they can sniff them a mile away. How do you and I go about the business of not being Perdita the cat? I am so pleased with this illustration at this point. Wow, I never thought we'd be this relevant and timely. Meekness enables us to rightly receive divine wisdom. We are to put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. In other words, we are supposed to be able to hear correction and instruction and go, thank you. Even if it's delivered with a rotten wrapping, I'm so glad, because you become teachable. Because it's not your interest is no longer my way. It is being conformed into the image of the Son. Augustine, if you live in Florida, After the fear of the Lord, he said meekness is the second most essential virtue when it comes to biblical interpretation. That we have a fear of the Lord. It drives how we read our Bible. If you're reading a verse that's in question, let's just say there's a verse that people tussle over, and it has to do with a sin area. You are going to interpret it one way if you have a fear of the Lord and another way if you don't. If it's possible and you don't fear the Lord, I'm going to take that option so I can do that behavior. You fear the Lord? Not a chance. I am not going to touch that sin or that potential sin with a 10-foot pole. Fear of the Lord, it's a big deal. It'll drive your interpretation. But so will meekness. Because meekness means that I receive it not so that I can be puffed up or more knowledgeable or right than somebody else, but so that I can understand my need for Jesus. I'm not sure. I haven't seen it yet. But Paul Washer, somebody had posted from the G3 conference, Paul Washer, imagine this, he was passionate about something.
Shocking.
Yeah. Oh, he was. No, he really was this time. He was scolding. I think he was after Calvinists. Hey, with the attitude. He wasn't condemning their theology or them as a person. Watch the attitude. It should be cultivating a sweetness about you, not a crabbiness about you. And so when we receive the Bible without meekness, we can get ugly with it. Well, I'll have to find that Paul Washer sermon for you, because I'm sure that he was somewhat tense about it.
By the way, exorcised.
I did get to see Paul Washer at the G3 conference only briefly. We were in the purple room. It wasn't a green room. It's actually a purple room. I'm telling you, it's at the Georgia Convention Center, the G3 conference every year. And the person who designed it, honestly, must have had some sort of infatuation with Prince. Oh, is it purple in there? It feels like
Paisley?
You just walked into purple rain. Is it what?
Paisley.
Paisley, like Paisley Park?
Yes.
What is going on with Paisley Park anyway?
I don't know, but it costs a fortune.
But is anybody? Did anybody buy the place? Did he give it to anybody?
I don't know. All I know is it's some sort of a museum that you can take tours.
I think it starts at
like $75.
Yeeks! Yeeks! Let me just tell you something, man. Elvis doesn't charge that much. He loved the little people. The virtue of meekness enables us to share divine wisdom with others. Paul to Timothy, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Do you think any talk show host, you pick your network, I don't care which one, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, do you think any of those hosts keep this in mind? Okay, I'll tell you who maybe does to a degree. Man, maybe it's not, it's just the way that Juan Williams. He comes warm most of the time to not being and outraged. Doesn't mean he's right on anything. I'm just saying, at least he's gentle. And he's a liberal. I mean, that kind of hurts a little bit. Although I did just read something of his where he was saying that he thought the president of the United States should not go to the pro-life march because it divides the nation. What? Since when?
Huh?
Can't a president say this is right and that's wrong? What, don't we do that all the time?
He thinks that's what divides the nation?
Well, that's a fruit of what divides the nation. Harshness hinders the transmission and reception of truth, while gentleness assists it. That's big. That's really big. Just ask yourself the question, when you're trying to train up your child with Christian virtues, do you do it tenderly, gently, or is it sharply? And rather aggressively and angrily. It's so easy, isn't it? But if you want your kids to understand and receive truth, gentleness is the delivery mechanism that brings it home the best. Don't you learn best that way? Now, does that mean that a sermon can never be, hey, your porn addiction, it's gotta go? Doesn't mean that. But it's not a, I hate you, you pornographer. Disgusting. Not that. It's under control. It doesn't mean watered down. But in most instances, when we talk with one another, we're not talking about oratory and specifically preaching, because preaching has always got teaching in it, but it has an element of exhortation. Conversation is usually not going to have that sort of, it's just going to be teaching and encouraging and exhorting, but that it doesn't have that fire, especially the fire of anger. The virtue of meekness is necessary to the flourishing of Christian community. The key to maintaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace lies in adorning ourselves with all humility and gentleness toward one another, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Now, here's where this gets tricky for us. You turn on your YouTube machine, you go listen to some sermons, you get the texts and the tweets, and the problem is there are some preachers, that's their hobby horse right there. And so it's always about a misinterpretation of what these things mean. That it needs to be like you're singing a Leo Sayer song. It's just you're a Bee Gee, just everything is breath. No, that's not what it means. But there are people who interpret it that way, and this is all they talk about, and then condemn anybody who holds on to the truth. And therefore, when we even hear somebody who is solid talking about being gentle, it's like sold out. Yeah, you're getting watered down in the liberal. We've got to fight against that temptation and fight to work on the virtue of gentleness. Why? It's commanded. And when we are more like Jesus. And that's better than being a political talk show host. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for listening today. We are always grateful that you choose to spend part of your day listening to us here at Wretched Radio. And a hearty thank you to all who have sent us their questions, comments, conundrums, and snarks, or their wretched stories. You know, how wretched is a part of your life. We truly do appreciate hearing from you. Two great ways to hear from you would be Beep Talk, 1-877-282-BEEP, or you can email us, idea@wretched.org. All we ask is that you please try and keep them pithy and clean, because otherwise Joey has to go through and edit, and it's just a whole thing. Let me share one with you from Amy. I'm very, very grateful to God for your ministry. God has brought you into my life at the perfect time, and your daily companionship and wisdom has been life-saving and life-changing. Wowzers. Thanks, Amy. We are truly grateful when we hear from listeners like you. If you would like to share, Beep Talk, 1-877-282-BEEP, or idea@wretched.org for the old email. Thanks to our gospel partners, too, who make it all possible. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
No doubt, if you've spent even a minute listening to conservative media, you have been whipped into a frenzy. The problems with our society, the collapse of a culture, the statistics, the legislation. We got to do something about this. But then we're never told what to do. I believe the greatest social ill of our time is the war against the unborn. Millions of children being killed in our country during our lifetime. And we can do something about it, and we can practically get engaged in the war for life. Preborn.org/wretched, $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. It saves the life of a child. Let's not just be righteously indignant. Let us do something to save lives. The women hear the gospel, they receive support, and they choose life. $28 for an ultrasound. Preborn.org/wretched.
We are proud to announce our newest addition to the Drive-By series, Drive-By False Teaching. And just as the name implies, Drive-By False Teaching will give you the tools you need to distinguish the true from the almost true and contend earnestly for the faith.
The Judaizers were clinging to the past. The Gnostics represent a radical break with the past. And so in many ways, the error of the Gnostics is exactly the opposite of the Judaizers' heresy. This is what always happens, isn't it? The church kind of swings from one extreme to the other. When the false teaching of the Judaizers met with resistance, and when people began to refute it biblically, it was as if Satan just pushed the pendulum to the opposite extreme.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is glorious and well worth defending. Drive-By False Teaching will help you defend our doctrines. Get your copy today at wretched.org/false-teaching.
Book books of the Bible. Leviticus is the guidebook for the priests and Levites as they attend to their duties in the temple. In Leviticus, we learn that God is holy, sin is serious, and that God requires a sacrifice for atonement. Thankfully, we have complete atonement in the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are listening to a man who is not going to sin. This is Wretched Radio. It would Hang be on. A crime. What?
We talking ever or just in the near future?
Just for this made-up scenario I'm about to present. That's
Carry
all.
On.
How to avoid persecution. It's a list of 10. I only shared 5. I'm not going to sin by letting a good list go to waste. We love lists here at Wretched Radio. So here it is. If you never want to be persecuted, here's what you need to do. Never fail to laugh at a joke, no matter how crude or irreverent. Never come across as judgmental. Just go with a pagan stream. Just float down river with the rest of the unbelievers, laughing, guffawing, never speaking up. You won't be persecuted. Don't worry. You'll be fine. Might not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm just saying. And please, to be clear, we don't do those things to inherit eternal life. What Jesus is after in the Beatitudes is if you're never exhibiting these things, you don't have eternal life. And when he spends 2 verses, this is something that needs to be considered. When you're reading a section of scripture, particularly a discourse by Jesus, but it's anywhere in the Bible, when you see repetition, sit up straight. Pay very close attention, because there's a reason for redundancy. The Bible does not repeat itself because it needs to fill up space. Space was at a premium. The parchments that were used, they were expensive. They were rare. And so there was an economy of words that was used under the inspiration of the Spirit. So when you see repetition, pay attention. This might even help you in the Old Testament. In some of the historical narratives, you're reading the story and this individual did this thing, going into battle, slaying this many people under the dictate of that fellow. And then blah, 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 blah. Because this fellow went into battle under the dictate of this, and it repeats it again. And sometimes you'll see that where it's like, just don't get annoyed because you have to read it again and again. Sometimes it can even be a lengthy repetition. That was not done because they just wanted to hit a word count. They did it because there was something to be learned. And when Jesus in the Beatitudes twice says, and it's recorded twice for us, blessed are those who are persecuted. This is 5:10 and then 5:11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. He repeats it. It should be expected of us. When we are living a godly life in Christ, you will be persecuted. You can't escape it. And that causes me to reflect for a moment. It is not a desire to be provocative in that I get a rise out of somebody. But if that's never happening, I wonder if I'm presenting things in a way that is sharp enough. Not with an attitude, not with anger, spite, or venom, but with enough of an edge to make it clear. When Jesus responds to 2 national disasters, to try to think of a national disaster, just because maybe it's not too soon, maybe Abraham Lincoln is shot. Now put yourself back into the 3/4 of the way through the 19th century. Like 1865, 66, isn't that the neighborhood when he was assassinated? Okay. What would you feel like? You hear the news. Your president has been assassinated. They put a reporter out on the streets to interview people who have influence in culture. The reporter finds Jesus Christ. Just work with me on this. And he says to Jesus, the president of the United States was shot. What do you have to say about this? Do you think that he was more sinful than you are? Do you think he's more sinful than the rest of the people in this country? I tell you, unless you repent, you will perish too. If that doesn't punch you in the guts, contemporize it when you're experiencing a national tragedy and what that feels like and how it's on the mind of everybody. People are talking about it. It is the subject of virtually every conversation, news story, text and feed and Instagram. And Jesus says, I'm telling you, repent or you're going to perish too. If that doesn't cause you to reel, Jesus, when he was talking to the Pharisees, and he was saying to them, when in front of the Pharisees, when he told people, those Pharisees, and by the way, don't forget the Pharisees, if there was any camp of religious people that were closer to Jesus in theology, with the exception of soteriology, it would be the Pharisees. They were the moral ones. They were the high standard people. It wasn't the Sadducees by any means. They only believed in the Torah, not the rest of the prophets. They didn't believe in an afterlife, resurrection. They were the liberals. Pharisees were the conservatives. In front of them, Jesus says, do what they say, but don't do what they do. They simply make people twice the sons of hell that they are. Now, it was done gently in that it was under control, not squishy and soft and in a, please don't be upset with me, but you make people twice the son of hell as you are. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. He said it the way that he said it, and you can imagine it, but it was right to say it. And the response was that they wanted to kill him. Maybe it was Paul Washer who said, the problem with most preachers today is that nobody wants to kill them. Is that true of us? Now, again, it's not one. You get the zealot presentation on this subject is, so let's go tear into them, boys. That's the zealot response. That is not what Jesus is prescribing or describing, nor did he model that. It is speaking truth under control, motivated by love, not necessarily in a lovey-dovey manner, but motivated by love to the point where they wanted to kill him. And it wasn't just because he was claiming divinity, which he clearly was. It was because of the hard things that he said. We need to remember we live in a culture that is both sharp and divisive and soft and sensitive to the extremes with misunderstandings of what they both mean. The problem isn't that sometimes people are soft. It's that they misunderstand what it means to genuinely be gentle. It doesn't mean that the people who are sharp are doing something wrong because sharpness is sometimes needed. It's just that's all they are. And it's motivated wrongly with the wrong goal and intention and the wrong heart behind it. The Christian is, no, I'm going to say the hard things motivated by love. I'll do it under control. I'm going to moderate it. I'm going to bring it down as the situation demands. And if nobody's ever getting upset with me, am I really modeling Jesus? They regularly wanted to kill him. Regularly. But his time had not yet come. Off into the crowd he goes. They conspire to do what? To kill him. All through it heats up quickly, by the way, when their response to his preaching and teaching. Does that ever come knocking on our door? Ever, ever. Gotta ask. Don't apply this. Here's what the outrage machine would get you to do. Now go out there and start telling those people how wicked their abomination is. It's not what I'm saying. Nor am I saying, be really nice, because I don't want to be mean. This is figuring it out, being under control by the Spirit, because I am disciplining my body and my mind and my thoughts, because I'm staring at and studying Jesus, and I want to become more like him. And I don't have to get it yanked back in by somebody else like a Doberman on a leash. I'm a trained dog. I don't mind being called that. I have no problem being under full control of God's sovereign reign and his powerful Holy Spirit, because it's always better than anything I can concoct. That's what we need to be applying it in our situations. And Jesus is saying if it never causes any sort of animosity or persecution, you got to examine what you're doing. And maybe even examine if you're in the faith. That's what he's saying. I didn't say it. He said it. We got to deal with it. Never speak out against the world's morality, and you won't be persecuted. Never speak out against the world's entertainment, music, television, movies. You'll be fine. You'll never be persecuted. Never say or do anything that would cost you not fitting in with the crowd. You're going to be just fine. You'll never be persecuted. But it might mean that you're also not a peacemaker who is a son or daughter of God. Luke 9:26, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. If you're never being persecuted, be careful. Don't charge out of the box just to be annoying or to become, no, that's it. No, I'm just going to tell people what I'm thinking. It's not it. That's cable news. This is being controlled, rightly informed by the Bible, what is right, wrong, good, pure, lovely, worthy of praise, bringing the gospel and carrying it, knowing full well that it could bring persecution, but a willingness to say it to the degree it needs to be said, always motivated by love. That is our response to all of this. And we see Jesus modeling this perfectly every single time. And the only way to become like someone is to be studying that person. You'll be conformed from one level of glory unto another when you stare at the perfect peacemaker, Jesus Christ. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.